Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Got a great show lined up for you. Oh, you're going to like it. Have you wondered about some of the basics about investing? Are you wondering if maybe some of the stuff you could do yourself? Are you wondering, how does this investment stuff work anyway? You're bombarded, I'm sure, every day by information on television, radio, of course, newspaper about financial topics, investing, and your email and on the computer. It's everywhere, right? So how do you sort all that out? Well, we've got a great guest lined up. I know you're going to love her. Kathy Kristoff is an award-winning financial journalist, and she's written the book, Investing 101. And we're going to talk about the book. We're going to talk about some other topics with Kathy. She comes to us with just gobs of experience and a heck of a pedigree. She has been a syndicated columnist for the LA Times for 22 years, columnist for CBS Money Watch, writing an array of personal financial news advice and trends. She's doing that now. She has been a reporter. She's been an author for Bloomberg. Just a whole host of great accomplishments, and I'd love to welcome her. Kathy, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks so much, David. It's nice to be here.
I'm glad to have you. And this is just the stuff you got going on. It's so relevant everyday folks, and even in ways they don't realize. And if you don't mind, I want to dive in here and get to a couple of them. But first, before we do that, talk to me about the book. This is available on Amazon and other bookstores, Investing 101. And your goal with the book is to,
Well, you know what was funny is the book came out of a series of articles that I wrote for the LA Times that we kept on getting requests to have copies of, because it was what we were doing is just trying to make investing a little bit clearer, explain stuff like price earnings ratios and why they're so important when you're buying individual stocks, and growth, and it just a lot of the basic stuff that was all in the past kind of written in code.
So got to keep the mass in Latin.
Exactly. So we just wanted to make it all clear and understandable. And, you know, you can decide whether you want to invest in individual stocks or you want to invest in mutual funds. It doesn't matter. You actually, if you understand the basics, you're going to be a better investor overall.
I can't argue with that at all. I think that that's really the heart of it. And whether somebody does it themselves, hires an advisor, whatever the case is, you need to understand some of the basics.
Exactly. And, you know, even I think what everybody has trouble with their 401k plans, for example, is this concept of asset allocation. How much should be in stocks? How much should be in bonds? How much should be in real estate? How much should be international? And it's really not that hard if you understand what those different types of asset classes do. Over time, you can start divvying up your assets appropriately for you. So anyway, so that was kind of the goal of the book. And it's amazing is it was first published in 2000, and it's still selling kind of briskly.
That's great. That's great.
You think, wow, that's a long time, 14 years, and still, you made it through a couple of market crashes and a lot of great times in the market as well, and all the information really
it's just as relevant today as it was then.
Yeah, it stands the test of time. So,
yeah, I agree.
Anyway, so
well, that's good. No, I applaud your efforts there. Investing 101 is the book, and our guest is Kathy Kristoff. A couple of articles you've written recently, Kathy, really caught my attention, and I wanted to dig into them with you, if you don't mind. The first was about CEO compensation and how overpaid CEOs hurt investors. And yeah. I understand that when you first wrote this or started expressing some of these thoughts that, you weren't exactly perceived the right way, were you?
No. I mean, you start questioning CEO pay and everybody calls you a communist,
yeah.
You know? And it's like, come on, we live in a capitalistic society and everybody
right.
should earn what they earn. And the problem really with CEO pay is that there's no capitalistic check mm-hmm. on how much CEOs earn. Normally, your board of directors at a company is supposed to be the representative of shareholders, and
right,
they're supposed
right.
to keep CEOs in line.
Right.
Unfortunately, directors today are chosen by management, and they are cronies of management, and they do very little to actually protect the interest of the people that they're being paid by, who are shareholders. And so CEO pay has become related to ego rather than reality. And unfortunately, the bigger your CEO's ego, the more likely you are to have some sort of, you know, crash and burn scenario over long stretches of time. You know, we've seen it with almost every major corporation where CEO pay is usually kind of like the red flag or the canary in the coal mine. When you see that really off kilter, you don't know when the explosion is going to happen, but it probably is going to happen.
Yeah.
Happened with Home Depot, happened with Countrywide Financial. I mean, it's like the list goes on and on and on. And so anyway, but on a more practical basis, CEO pay, it creates a greater disparity between income inequality in our society. And this income inequality, when it hits extreme levels, which it is right now, actually makes it difficult for you and I, your average person, to buy the products and services that companies are producing. And that, you know, so that it hits you twice.
Mm.
It hits you because you're paying it as a shareholder
right out
of, you know, the corporate pocket. And it hits you again because it means that the society that we live in is less capable of buying the goods and services that are being produced.
Well, I think it's very insightful, Kathy, because, you know, the thing that strikes me, and you start kind of set it up at the beginning of your comment, the thing that really rubs me about CEO compensation or when there are excesses, and you've really kind of, you've hit the nail on the head, and that's the board members of these publicly traded corporations are supposed to hold the management team, especially the CEO, accountable. And if I'm not mistaken, a board of directors has a fiduciary responsibility to the shareholders that they are allegedly voted in by. And they're supposed to, you know, they're supposed to be holding up the share. They work for the shareholder in effect and not for management. You know, it's the other way around. The management is supposed to report to them and be held accountable. So I think that is probably the largest breakdown. And you got these board members sitting on each other's boards, and it's, you know, it's a club.
It absolutely is. And it's tragic. For really as long as I've been reporting on this issue, the Securities and Exchange Commission has been looking at different ways to make boards less clubby. And they've never had the courage to actually pass regulations that would change it. And the problem with, or the reason why it's such a club, is because you and I, as shareholders, institutions that are also shareholders, we don't get to elect, or we don't get to present board members as to be elected. We are given Politburo style choices.
Yeah.
That management comes up with a slate of nominees, and you vote for them or against them, but you aren't given a choice. It's not like there's a competitive election. It's like up or down. And really, because there's nobody else, in some situations, some corporations have changed the rules so that a board or a director cannot be voted in with one vote. But in other corporations, if the man votes for himself, he's on the board. You know, it's like it makes absolutely no sense at all. But we as shareholders have no access to the nomination process. And I really think that's got to change. Until that changes, directors are really not held accountable. They are not our representatives. And, you know, the SEC, people should be raising all sorts of heck with the SEC. And unfortunately, we don't.
Yeah, and that seems to be, you know, the next logical question is, how does this change get any type of footing? Because it's, you know, on one hand, I can certainly understand the argument that we don't want over-regulation, the government deciding, you know, what, how these things can and can't be done. I can hear that argument and appreciate that. But on the other side, how do you, you know, there's reasons why we don't have monopolies, or at least some control over monopolies because of the danger. So I can see the other side as well, that there's got to be some other way of making the change other than just, you know, our talking about the problem.
Well, you know, I mean, the thing is there are regulations. The regulations just go the other way. Mm. The regulations basically do not give shareholders access to the proxy. And the real problem here is that individual shareholders are not organized like corporate America is. And by and large, corporations want to keep this cozy situation. And so they're pretty unified in their stance against allowing shareholders to have access to the nomination process. We shareholders need to get more active. Institutional shareholders are getting more active because they're looking at this and saying, oh my gosh, this has gotten so out of hand.
Right. Well, and that's the funny part about the institutional investor. They've got responsibilities. You know, let's say it's a mutual fund family. They've got responsibility for their shareholders, their clients, for the monies that that institutional investor is investing in that publicly traded company. So the responsibilities extend to them as well.
It does. It does. Unfortunately, many institutional investors, like the mutual fund companies, also have other interests involved.
Hmm.
So not only do you offer mutual funds to individuals and manage a lot of money, you might be a provider of 401k plans. And therefore, you need, say, you know, GE to pick you as their 401k plan provider.
Wait a minute, Kathy. You're not saying there's a potential conflict of interest here, are you?
I am saying there's a conflict of interest here.
Yeah, there is. There is. Well, you know, these are some pretty cozy arrangements that these companies get involved in.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, there are a lot of, you know, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours arrangements here. But again, the SEC should be dealing with this. The SEC should be actually making sure that the average shareholder gets an even break. And so that's, I think, where you put the pressure on right now, because right now the rules that the government is enforcing do not benefit the individual shareholder, and they really should.
Well put. You know, I've often wondered just how comfy those board seats are. You know, they get paid pretty well too, right, to be served on these boards?
Oh, they get paid ridiculously well. I mean, and the more out of control the company is, the better the directors are paid, which probably makes sense, right? But think of a job where you work, say, one day a week, and you get paid, $200,000 a year.
Where do I sign up?
Exactly. And that one day a week that you work is probably not a full day.
A lot of head nodding, right?
Exactly. Yeah. If you're a bad director, you get paid a whole heck of a lot for almost no work.
Wow. It's crazy stuff, Kathy. I'm glad you're here to help us look at it and look at it candidly and honestly. Kathy Kristoff is our guest. She's an award-winning financial journalist, and she's written the book Investing 101. You can get that anywhere. You know, it's out there. You can just Google it, put it on Amazon, and take a good look at it, and Kathy knows her stuff. We're going to grab a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about A Richer 2015, the 6 steps for a richer 2015, recent article by Kathy. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals and couples plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his clients' shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. To learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And we are back. Hey, do you want a richer 2015? That's going to be our next topic with Kathy Kristoff, our award-winning financial journalist and a prolific writer. Boy, I admire people that write as much as you do, Kathy, because that's a lot of work.
It's habit. You know, at some point you write fast because, wow, you've been doing it for 30 years. And so it seems really easy.
Well, good for you, because when I write, I'm like, okay, focus, David, focus. All right. So let's talk about how we can help people have a more successful or richer 2015. And you've got some great practical tips from your recent article that we saw over on CBSnews.com. And let's walk through them, because I think, you know, sometimes, as you, of course, talk about in your book, Investing 101, sometimes it is that 101 basic starting point where people need to be looking. And some of these things, you know, we're not going to talk about splitting atoms in the next few minutes. I mean, this is stuff that people need to get back to some of the basics and have a purpose and be very deliberate about how they move their finances forward. And so let's just walk through them. What's the first on your list of steps for a richer 2015?
Well, the most important thing you can do is write down your goals. I think everybody is more focused and more willing to give up. I mean, the whole thing with finances is that money is finite. And so you've got to decide how you're going to spend your finite resources. And it's always easier to spend today than to defer gratification, right? But if you know why you're putting off that expense, if you know why you're saving and it's a really clear goal to you, you're much more likely to make it happen. There's actually been some research done where they found that people who wrote down their specific goals were 50% more likely to get what they wanted than those who set goals but didn't write them down.
That's a big difference.
It's gigantic. I mean, everybody talks about how hard it is to keep your New Year's resolutions. Well, make it concrete, write it down, look at it, track your progress. And now all of a sudden your ability to get this thing that you set the goal, right? You decided what you wanted. So now if you really want it, write it down, track your progress. And then the other thing that you can do to really increase your ability to get that goal is create an action plan and give progress reports to a supportive friend. So let's say your husband or your, you know, significant other is saying, yeah, I want to help you. Okay, set up an action plan and then send that person an email once a month telling them how much progress you've made to get your goal. Now, the success rate is boosted by 78%. That's an amazing margin, right?
That's huge. And I mean, hey, it's been made fun of, but phone a friend. Good grief. Get a friend on the phone and talk about your goals. And you know, hey, listen, everybody likes to be proud of their accomplishments. But if you get your friends or family to be there with you and commit to it, I think that's a great first step.
Well, you know, it's funny. In a completely unrelated search, they've found that the support of your friends has a huge ability to help you meet goals with everything, you know, losing weight, stopping smoking, anything else. The people you surround yourself with are going to largely determine your success or failure. So find your most supportive friends. Find people who always help you achieve your goals, whether it's a financial goal or it's a personal goal, getting healthier, exercising. Find a friend and get them to encourage you along the way. It is a tremendous help in actually achieving what you want.
Well put. Well put. So write them down and commit to them and help others commit to help you commit to them. And then once we've got our goals down, then next up is something that is maybe not the most pleasant part, because if we don't if we don't track that spending, Kathy, then, you know, we can kind of, I guess, deceive ourselves a little bit.
Oh, yeah. You know, tracking your spending is a really important thing to do, and it's because we spend so much money unconsciously. Years and years ago, and I was writing money makeovers for the LA Times, I interviewed this gal, and she and her husband made a good living, but they never had any money at the end of the month. And she couldn't figure out why. So I said, okay, we're going to come in with the planner. We're going to help you with your money makeover. But what I need you to do before we even meet is I need you to write down, take a notebook with you, and write down every dollar you're spending on a daily basis. Do this for a month, and chances are it's gonna show you where your money pit is, right? So we do. Or when I start the interview, and I said, "Well, did you find your money pit?" She comes in with a basket full of Happy Meal toys, and she goes, "Yes, here it is."
That's funny.
And it was that for her, it was that she had all these little kids. They were going to sports after school every day. They didn't have a lot of time in between things, so they would run through McDonald's almost every day and get a Happy Meal on their way to soccer or football or ballet or whatever. And once she realized how much money she was spending on this thing that really did not matter to her, her kids were healthier and better off when she packed a sandwich or apples or, you know, something and had that in the car instead of, like, you know, junk food. And it also solved her problem with having more money at the end of the month.
Yeah. Well, that's huge. I mean, I think, and again, it's not a big example, but this stuff adds up. So track the spending, whatever it is you're spending money on. And then next up is get a quote. You're talking about insurances and other things that you're spending money on a regular basis.
Yeah, insurance is the biggie. Auto and homeowners insurance are, you know, massive expenses for most families. And unfortunately, you get no benefit for being loyal to your insurer, and quite the opposite. So you should always shop those around at least once every couple of years. And there's a good chance that you'll save a couple $100s by doing that.
So it doesn't matter whether it takes 15 minutes or less or 10 minutes or less or an hour. Yeah, take a hard look at it because it's worth the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like tracking your spending, you used to have to write everything down in a notebook. Now you can do it on your iPhone. And, you know, your insurance quotes you can do online. It's going to take you 15 minutes like the ads would say.
I know, they're funny.
Yeah, and that's for a couple $100s, that's so worth it.
It is worth it. It's very much worth it. All right, let's do this. Let's grab a quick break, Kathy. We'll come back and we'll continue with 6 Steps for a Richer 2015 with Kathy Kristoff. Stay right there.
These are challenging times for investors. The stock market is volatile, with 10% drops a common historical occurrence. Is your portfolio prepared for such a correction? How about inflation? What's your plan for when a gallon of gas or gallon of milk costs $16? And what about interest rates? Did you know that a 10-year bond could drop 10% if interest rates rose just 1%? What's your plan for that? Holland Financial has answers to questions just like these and practical steps you can take to help mitigate these negative events. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting with David Holland. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back. Kathy Kristoff on the line. The book is Investing 101, and you see why she wrote the book and why she's, you know, she's dialed in right into the heart of some of these topics. It's not rocket science, but you've got to do it, and you've got to take steps like we've been talking about. The 6 Steps for a Richer 2015 article recently written by Kathy, and it's good stuff. We talked about writing down your goals, tracking your spending, and getting quotes for some of those big-ticket items like insurance to make sure you're not paying any more than you have to. And next, speaking of not spending any more than you have to, how about paying off some revolving debt, Kathy?
Yeah, you'd get no extra good or service by having revolving debt. You just pay through the nose for it. And so you need to pay it off. If you can't pay it off right away, I actually just wrote another story about wonderful credit cards for 2015. There are a whole bunch of them where you get 0% interest for is up to 15 months. One where you can actually transfer a balance for free. So if you can't pay off your debt immediately, transfer it to a no-interest card, and pay it off as fast as you can, certainly before you start getting charged interest on it.
Yeah, but don't do that and then run up the card you transferred it off of again.
Oh, good heavens, no.
But Kathy, that happens. I mean, that is what happens. People transfer it over. They take the 0%. They transfer for free. And then they say, okay, now I've got my cards back open again for business. And I need to, you know what? I did a smart thing. I need to go shopping now.
Yeah. Well, let's hope, I mean, that people are not that silly. Because we actually got into a good stretch during the recession where people were paying down their debts and getting financially healthier. When you see spending picking up again and credit card balances rising, and that, of course, is not ideal because you just always want to give yourself the ability to use those credit cards for real emergencies, not for just, spending faster than you're earning the money. Pay off those debts. Don't, if you transfer the balance, recognize that your goal here is to pay it off, not to give yourself more latitude on the card.
Amen. Well, that's really my point, and I'm glad. I mean, that's really, I want people to be thinking about those things as they make those shifts. And now back to the folks that are working and who are putting money away for their own retirement. This one actually surprises me when I see this happen. Is folks that miss out on the match at work with the 401k, where the company will match a certain amount, and they don't make the minimum match amount, and they're just leaving money on the table.
Yeah, it's crazy. 401k plans, by and large, when you put money in, your company will match your contributions up to, say, 6% of pay, and the match is usually really generous. The typical, big company matches 50 cents on every dollar that you put in. So where are you going to get a 50% return in the investing world? Nowhere, right?
Nope.
But a quarter or nearly a quarter of employees don't put enough in their 401k to get that full match. That's just crazy. That's just like throwing money out of the window.
Yeah, don't do that.
I just don't get it. Yeah,
don't do that. Kathy says not to throw money out the window, and I agree with her. Well, I tell you what, Kathy, it's insightful and it's helpful, and I'm really glad you came on the program and talked with us. Ladies and gentlemen, Kathy Kristoff, award-winning financial journalist, and she's written the book, still going strong after, 10 years now, Investing 101. Mm-hmm. Kathy, I love having you on, and we'll have to have you come back.
Well, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right. You have a great day.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.